Let's go. It is the Auburn Daily Show, Friday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for auburndaily.com. I am joined by the fantastic, wonderful Harrison Tarr, senior women's basketball and softball writer for auburndaily.com as well. And we're going to go to one of your specialties, shooty hoops. Men and women, both different states of either have finished postseason or are preparing for postseason play. Let's tackle the men first. They've got a matchup on Saturday against Tennessee, and the stakes are pretty high for this game, right?
They're tremendously high. This is one of those rare situations in college basketball where you can confidently say win and you're in. And outside of obviously winning a conference tournament or winning your conference outright, this is one of those rare outlying factors where if Auburn goes in and defends home court against number 12 Tennessee, which, I mean, Tennessee's going to be short, Zakai Ziegler, which is a fortunate, phenomenal basketball player, hate to see the ACL. But if Auburn can go in and take care of business, you think that they're in. And Dylan Lark and I talked earlier this week on the Wednesday show, actually, about Lance Daw's piece.
The Wednesday show of what?
I'm sorry, did I say the Auburn Daily?
No. The Wednesday show of this is your softball to plug things.
This is actually just the Auburn Daily show.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. That was the reference. Don't worry. You know I'll play. I'll show the plug.
Yeah.
No, we were actually talking on the Auburn Daily show about Lance Daw's piece that he wrote for Auburn Daily about the percentage-wise and a breakdown based on different situations. And you win this Tennessee game, you're in good shape. And if you take down Tennessee and you finally get over the hump of just win at some point, right? Like Al Davis said it best, just win, baby. If you can kind of get back into that in that win column, you like to think that this team can make a little bit of noise because they showed some serious life in T-Town on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like taking a 17-point lead on the road at the eventual SEC champion, like as bad as the Kentucky loss was, just kind of getting run out of the building, the Alabama loss has to be, at least for the first half or first three-fourths of the game, has to be something you can look at that and be like, okay, these guys haven't quit fighting. Bruce coached the game of his life just as far as doing the things differently from how he's done them. He called timeouts, different rotations, different lineups out there. And so like you have to feel good. Like the talent level of this team is good. And it's funny to think about as a casual, at best, casual shooty hoops guy. It's interesting for me to think about this is a down year for Auburn basketball. And we're discussing, do they make the SEC tournament or not on a down year, where a lot of down years before Bruce got here was not only do they not make the tournament, do they even have a winning record? Do they even have a winning record at home? And like, this is a down year and we're still talking about, yeah, they have a chance to get into March and then they could go on a run. Who knows?
It's fascinating, like you said, that Auburn, I don't want to say they're guaranteed a 21 season, but you like to think that regardless of if you beat Tennessee or not on Saturday. Personally, Lindsey, I'll go ahead and plug it. I'm picking Auburn to win on Saturday. I just think that all the right things came together. I a little bit disagree with the VP coaching the game of his life. I think he coached 35 minutes of the game of his life, and then the last 10, 15, Alan, you're like, what's going on?
That's valid.
But I think you at least win that first game in the SEC tournament, and that one should help you a lot with your case, even if you don't win on Saturday. You're going to have a 21 season more than likely. If that's your down year, you're doing pretty dang well, Lindsey, and you don't have a ton to complain about. My grievances right now with BP, and I know a lot, I'm voicing a lot of things. BP is the right guy for the job. Before people come at me on Twitter, people did it a little bit earlier in the week. I think you got the wrong idea. I respect him, great recruiter. I don't think he's the best X's and O's guy in the NCAA at this level. Mm-hmm. But I think that he has grown over the past couple weeks because we've seen Auburn mishandle late game situations in about every single way you could draw up. And outside of maybe giving Katie Johnson the ball at the end of the Alabama game, which I kind of still think would happen, and maybe rotating Trey Donaldson in a little bit more in overtime, I thought that you're right. I thought he coached a B-plus, A-minus game, which is much improved from the X's and O's we've seen that have been C, C-minus lately.
Yeah, and it's something where, you know, Auburn didn't win. There are no moral victories, so to speak, but you have to feel like this isn't a team that's given up.
Sure.
Obviously, the fight that they had in that game, getting the lead that they did in the hostile environment on the road, having to watch their surroundings. You never know what's going to happen when you're dealing with Alabama football, basketball players. And so it's just very much you have to feel good about the program. Obviously, a lot of questions for the offseason when we get there as far as the the lineup? Do you bring in more guys who can make clutch shots from the field? I don't want to say bring in clutch shooters because, again, we just played in Tuscaloosa. It makes it tough. But just a lot of different places that this can go. But the big thing is the season's not over. Auburn's going to make the conference tournament. I feel pretty confident, even if they don't win like you're predicting on Saturday, you know, you're predicting they win. Even if they don't, they'll still probably, more than likely, I think over 50% right now, make the Field of 64 and make March Madness, and then anything Agreed. Can happen. Literally in the playoffs, anything can happen. So
before we jump to the next one, I'll go ahead and say this. Not only do I think Auburn can win this game, I think that if they play like they played against Alabama on Wednesday mm-hmm. with the state of Tennessee right now, Lindsay, I think Auburn can run Tennessee out of the gym. And I know that that's there's your clickbait quote, whatever. Use me. That's fine. Dylan does it all the time on the College Loop. That's fine. I don't think they will, just because of the animosity between the BP camp and Tennessee. Obviously, that's a team that Bruce has success against, and Auburn needs a big win in a big way. If Auburn clicks again and Katie Johnson is actually has that tangible results, this team could run them out of the gym. This team tried to run Alabama out of the gym. Let's not forget mm-hmm. that. They squandered a lead, which that's going to happen when you play a top two team in the country. In my opinion, Alabama's the best team in the country. Yep. But don't rule them out. Don't rule out the Tigers. I like them a lot. And when we play Prize Picks, hammer the lines.
Before we move on, real quick, do we know about Dylan Cardwell's status for that game? Because it's coincidentally, he missed the last game versus Tennessee with an illness, I believe. Do we know if he'll be in this Saturday or not?
He will not be. Bruce Pearl said it immediately after the game that there is a slim to no chance, after the Alabama game, rather, excuse me, that Dylan Cardwell plays on Saturday against Tennessee. I severely doubt Dylan Cardwell will be back maybe for the rest of the season. That was a pretty nasty fall. We've not gotten full details on that, rather, but it's something to monitor. If he's back, it'll be Sweet 16 weekend if Auburn's there. Right. And this is not one of those injuries that can heal overnight, and it's something he can re-injure quite bad. He came down pretty bad on that ankle.
Yeah, that is tough. What are the odds that a guy's going to miss two games in a season and they're both against the same opponent? Team. That's wild. That's such a wild stat. Almost makes you feel like there's a little bit of voodoo or something going on there with Tennessee.
Rick Barnes is casting spells.
That's what it is. Put the doll down, Rick Barnes. Put the doll down.
Why is it Dylan Cardwell? Why is that the doll you choose?
Yeah. Why is that the guy? You're like, yeah.
No shame to Dylan Cardwell here, but I think I'd probably pick Jani Broome, Wendell Green Jr., one of those guys first.
Yeah. It's like, no. We can't let Dylan Cardwell beat us. Talking about, sadly, people beating us, women's basketball just left the SEC tournament. I think it was Thursday. How did that go?
Yeah, that was not a great showing for Auburn, and it wasn't a great showing for Georgia, who ultimately defeated Auburn 63-47. And I know that score seems a little lopsided at 16. It is. there's just no real way to go about it. Full disclosure, I had to go watch the condensed game while I was in the office today. Hopefully my boss isn't watching. But I had to watch the condensed game. I got to pick up my girlfriend from the airport, so I missed the end game, like live updates and watching on TV. But Caleb Jones of Rivals, Rivals.com, texted me and goes, dude, you watching the game? And I said, no. He goes, count your blessings. Georgia's shooting 7.7% from the floor this quarter, and they're still whooping up on Auburn. And it was one of those just, if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. And Auburn just couldn't convert. They ultimately wound up rounding out at 31.5% from the field, which isn't horrible. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, when you're posting no more than 15 points in this, like the second quarter is your highest scoring quarter at 15 points, and you get outscored by 11 in that quarter alone, you're not going to win many basketball games. And it's unfortunately that's just the way that it shook out. But the future's never been brighter for Auburn women's basketball. There's a ton of reason to look forward. Honestly, Scott Grayson finally got her winning season at Auburn. You wound up 15-14 on the year. I know that's not a sexy record, right? It's not something that you're going to look back and be like, wow, like that was such a great year, because it'll get lost in the sauce, rather, because I do believe that Coach Jay is going to take this team to new heights. This was such a tremendously needed season. And there were some games that Auburn should have won. I mean, Auburn could have been an 18-win team this year quite easily, especially if you stay healthy. The amount of adversity they battled this year, Lindsay, don't let the showing in the SEC tournament dictate the way that this team is regarded going forward, because this is a huge building block going forward.
Yeah, and some of the big takeaways for me are you had some close wins, some comebacks. You took Ole Miss to overtime, beat Ole Miss in overtime. You lost to Arkansas by 3, kind of to your point of you could have easily done better. You had quite a few games that were, you know, two possessions games in either direction. You know, you lose to Georgia Tech by six early in the year. So it's something where you finish with a winning record, check. You get a lot of your young players' experience, check. And you show that in clutch time, at times you can make it happen, but you get experience in those situations. It feels like those are the improving incrementally in like a late game situation, a close, sure, you know, ball situation is what pushes a team over to the next level. So
sure. And
if outlook you go ahead.
No, you got it, Lindsay. Go ahead. All you.
Outlook for next year for women's basketball. What do you think the big takeaway here from this season is? I mean, I just listed off some stuff, obviously kind of stealing some thunder, but what do you think the big takeaway and the look forward to next year is?
Well, first off, I'm really glad I let you talk first because I was about to answer that question without you asking it. There's a ton of outlook here. I mean, look at what Carissa Richardson did coming down the stretch. She really came on, became a double-figure producer on a nightly basis. Aisha Koulibaly kind of figured out how to stay healthy going down the stretch. That's huge. You're getting her back next year. Romy Levy should be back to full strength because she finally decided to undergo a surgery that she's probably needed for an extended period of time now and has been playing through an extreme amount of discomfort. Mm-hmm. Sydney Shaw is only going to get better. Caitlin Duhon, there. I've heard a lot of reports from inside the locker room from a close contact of mine that Caitlin's just it's a little bit of a freshman mentality that you have to grow out of, and that happens, and it's tremendously valuable to look forward at the fact that Coach A is going to bring in another top 25 class next year, like she did this past year, top 20 class this past year, and finally have at least half of an SEC roster or you know, three quarters of an SEC roster. I think this is an SEC tournament contending team next year. Maybe not, they're not going to be South Carolina as long as Dawn Saley's there, more than likely, just because Dawn Saley's one of the best to ever do it. Right. She's up there with the Pat Summits of the world, and that's a pretty high pedestal to be at such a young age. But as far as it's Auburn-centric, this team has so much promise, and there's a tremendous amount of value in learning how to lose in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to misconstrue that and make it think that I am saying that Auburn needed to lose this year because they needed to be competitive, and they were competitive in almost every single game they were in. At some point or another, almost every single one of those games, you take out the LSU, South Carolina's, and one Ole Miss game out of the season, Auburn was right there at some point or another. And this the game was winnable if things go a different way. So if so-and-so doesn't get hurt, if so-and-so is not sick that night, insert name here and you can change it in and out. This team learned how to lose and how to compete and how to get knocked around in the SEC. And the amount of youth on this team, it's important to learn how to bounce back. That's a valuable trait in this conference because I call me a homer, Lindsay. I don't think there's a more competitive conference across all of college sports than the Southeastern Conference.
Just about everything. It's the highest level of amateur sports in the world, just about.
It is, especially when you look at football and basketball. I mean, it's semi-professional now. And it's that way around the league. It's very important that this group had the experience to get knocked around and then compete with some teams that they shouldn't compete with or on paper shouldn't compete with. There's a tremendous amount of hope. I think Auburn's going to be in the NCAA women's tournament next year.
So the takeaways from segment one are hammer Auburn men's basketball on Price Picks tomorrow and put down your futures bets on women's basketball for next year. And speaking about hammering men's basketball, if you want to do that, this season Auburn Daily has partnered with Price Picks to bring fun and variety to your picks for 2023. So tomorrow is your last regular season chance. There'll be more opportunities, but when you're listening to this, hit pause, download the Prize Picks app. It's a free app. You can choose 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players from tons of different sports in your wagers, predict the over or the under for the next game, and then win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options. You can get paid if you get 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, 4 of 6, multiple sports in the same parlay, however you want to do it. Maybe you're an Auburn basketball fan, but you're going to an NBA game tonight. You can go in and put NBA players you'll see tonight and Auburn players that you've watched all season tomorrow. So use promo code Auburn to get double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit. This college basketball season, what we have left of it, win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn. Okay, Harrison, we have covered shooty hoops. Now we are going to cover stick bat.
Yes.
Baseball, softball, both in action at home this weekend. Is softball going to like give up any runs this weekend and just sweep their opponents again? Because that's kind of felt like that's what women's softball does. It's just don't give up runs and we run rule everybody.
First and foremost, shame on whoever picked Auburn to finish eighth in the SEC going into this year. I know, like I just got through saying that this is the most competitive conference in college sports. I still stand by that. Won't change my won't switch up. Auburn is so much further along in the progression than we thought that this young class was going to be. The sophomore class now, led by Bree Ellis, you look at Aspen Godwin, the things that she's doing. You look at Maddie Penta, Shelby Lowe's back at full strength. Lindsay, they're going 5-0 again this weekend. And I told Dylan on the College Loop earlier this week, I'm projecting 28 or 29 innings worth of softball. I don't think we're going to get the full 35 out of Auburn, which is that's a good thing if you're an Auburn fan. Yeah. Auburn's just taking care of business. You got to give a little leeway to one of those South Alabama games that you're going to play. You have Bowling Green for two, South Alabama for one, and I believe Tennessee Tech for one. Mm-hmm. And you got to give a little leeway for one of those South Alabama games because a little bit of an in-state rivalry. Not a rivalry per se, but there's a ton of talent in softball in the Southeast, and they slip between the cracks sometimes, and the teams like South Alabama can be feisty. But I think Auburn goes goes 5-0 again, and they find themselves at a remarkable – my math's not great here, but I think it's 21-1 after this weekend. And you can't argue numbers, man. And Bree Ellis has already figured it back out at the plate. She's slugging an SEC, reigning SEC Player of the Week. And you can't hit on this pitching staff, so best of luck.
Yeah, Bree Ellis batting .450 right now, third on the team.
That's third.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, 16-1 right now. And the question I think that I have, a perfect 11-0 at home, like you said, going to be 16-0 after this weekend. The question that I have, how good is Pittsburgh? Because Pittsburgh beat Auburn at the NFCA Leadoff Classic 8-7. On Friday, February 11th, and that's their only loss of the year. Pittsburgh's got to be one of the best teams in the country to kind of get out of there with a victory over Auburn. Just kind of seems wild to me that this is the level of dominance that we have, and almost nobody even knows about it.
I'm not entirely full disclosure, not entirely sure. You take it with a grain of salt in those early season tournaments, and Auburn took care of business. I think you can only benefit from them. I think it's very, very hard to not benefit from an early season tournament like that where you play high level opponents. But yeah, no, Pittsburgh must be competing in the ACC, and full disclosure, I should do my ACC homework, but my dad went to Tech and I can only tolerate so much ACC content because it's hard to watch sometimes. Yeah, no, I mean, Auburn's taking care of business everywhere else, and they probably should have won that Pitt game. I mean, they almost came back in the seventh inning and did the dang thing. And they learned from that one, and they didn't like losing, so they decided to just not do it anymore.
Talking about not liking losing, that's kind of the story behind this Auburn baseball team. They go 2-1 on opening weekend. They get blown out on Sunday by Indiana 11-2 after they already won the series. And then since then, haven't lost. They run rule North Alabama, 7 innings, 13-1. They go 2-0-1 against USC last weekend because of USC's travel, their flight plan. They didn't have time to play another inning after the ninth. And then they run rule Florida A&M on Wednesday. You get Lipscomb this weekend. And it's funny because like you played Indiana, you played USC, but this might be the best pitching staff that you face non-conference like this year.
Sure.
It's something where Lipscomb is the pitching staff full of veterans. You have a sixth-year player. You have a grad guy. You have a senior for your three starting pitchers. You've got a really good closer. And then a team that kind of knows what they're about and is opportunistic. And what I mean by opportunistic team is this year, and I wrote this up in the preview for Auburn Daily, but Lipscomb has six different games where they've put up at least three runs in an inning. And they are 4-2 in those games. They've hit like 14 home runs, and they have three players who hit multiple home runs in the same game. So granted, they've played six games, 14 home runs. And so for Auburn, the story here, like everything's going to come down to, can Auburn's pitchers keep the ball in the yard? And then can Auburn's offense find enough runs for Auburn to get out of here? I think the goal should still be three wins. The expectation is two. I feel like the goal should probably be three. That's what it is almost every weekend. You haven't done that yet. I don't know if you'll get that first sweep this weekend or not, but you definitely want to see growth from the offense as far as keeping the consistency you've had so far going on this year. They have some great stats right now. They've struck out less than five times for the last five games. And then you want to keep their offense from putting up crooked numbers and getting big innings.
Sure. Lindsay, I've got a couple questions for you about baseball, if that's okay. If you mind, just walk through here.
Let's go for it.
So I had this is my shameless plug here. I had the privilege of sitting down with former Auburn pitcher and Baltimore Orioles Ring of Honor, Greg Olson, on Tuesday's episode of the College Loop. And I'm putting you up head to head with an Auburn legend here, Lindsay. So I'm putting you head to head.
He's definitely going to have the history on me, but go ahead.
No. This is just a current day Auburn, state of Auburn baseball question. Now he's got a little bias. He got a kid on the team.
Yeah,
but I'm curious. First off, I want to talk about that closing role, and we played around with the fact that it could be John Armstrong. I think that Tanner Bowman's making a case, correct, for him to be able to kind of bounce around.
Will Cannon's been the guy that's in the closer so far. Bowman's actually a starter this weekend. He gets his first start of the year on Friday night, because when we talked to him on Thursday, he didn't quite know what uniforms he wanted to pick yet. He hadn't realized that that's the starter's job, is to pick the uniforms the team wears, so he had to figure that out. But Will Cannon's been the guy in the save situation so far for Auburn. John Armstrong's been that something's wrong and we need you to come put this fire out role, and he's been fantastic at that.
Is the reason – now, Greg brought up a good point earlier today. A right-handed sidearmer throwing to a lefty is typically not a great recipe. You don't want to see lefties because they see the ball so much longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a situation where he could come in for a save if there's – if it's a mop-up job with lefties in, or is he more of a matchup guy?
So what I would expect to happen, the way that they like to use him, they very much like to use him as a – you know, there are two runners on, there are two outs. We have to get an out without giving up a run. That's been the biggest use case for him. You've seen him multiple times on a weekend. I think every outing this year that he's had started in the middle of an inning. So it feels like he's their go-to in an emergency, relatively speaking. But I do think that if you're facing a lineup that necessarily doesn't always hit breaking pitches well,
yeah,
he is an option to go to because that slider is so filthy. The issue you have, and this came up a lot with Blake Burkhalter last year, is if he's up there for the ninth, you're going to see a bunch of left-handed pinch hitting. I remember, I want to say when Auburn was in the College World Series, Stanford, that last inning where Burkhalter's trying to get the save, they had three consecutive pinch hitters and they were all lefties because his cutter didn't work as well against a lefty. Same thing with John and the slider. The effectiveness of that slider is when he can start it off in the zone for a strike. And when you commit to swing, that thing ends up 2 feet outside in the batter's in the left-handed hitting batter's box.
Sure.
And so some of that effectiveness is taken away if he has to start it outside and then try to backdoor it for a strike. I think he's good enough where he could do it. And he's worked on a four-seamer to kind of give him another weapon to use against lefties. But I absolutely do think that right now I would rather use him in that emergency situation and have Will Cannon be the guy in the ninth, because that stuff works a little better on both handedness because of the better velocity.
Sure. And I've got one more follow-up just offensive question for you real quick. I promise I won't make us run too long here, Lindsay. But
no, you're good.
Greg brought up a really interesting point about, we talked before the season did, when you came on the College Loop, you talked with us a little bit about how do you, you're never going to duplicate, but how do you replace the offensive production of Sonny DeShar? Is Auburn better this year, 1-9, not having somebody clogging up the middle?
I think that, all right, so you've kind of done a wholesale change of a good portion of the lineup, right?
Sure.
I think that Auburn is more consistent 1-9. Feel, you know, is the power ceiling as high for any individual player as it was for Sonny? I don't necessarily think so, but I do think that there was a bit of a mindset, not intentional, but a bit of a mindset of, well, all I have to do is get on. Sonny's going to drive in the runs. And so something you see a lot when you have a team who has that one prominent threat in the middle of the lineup, like you're alluding to, is the ability for an opposing pitching staff, and you saw this plenty with his cut nation-leading walk rate, is you can work around that guy. You can intentionally walk him. You can just throw him nothing. You can attack the hitters in front of him to get them out so that he does not come up with runners on base. And I think with Auburn right now, the power production, I mean, yes, Justin Kirby has 6 hits and they're all home runs, which is wild.
But also Cooper McMurray has
also 8 strikeouts. It's very much a 3 true outcomes kind of thing, because he has no base hits or not home runs. It's the epitome of 3 true outcomes.
Joey Gallo.
There you go. Without the beard.
Without the beard.
Without the beard. But it feels like this offense is more sustainable from game to game, from inning to inning, because you have guys in the seven hole, guys at the bottom of the lineup, guys in the two hole that can get on, can get a base hit, can move you station to station, get guys over. We've seen Bryson Ware in the same game bunt for a hit and hit a two-run home run. We've seen guys like Josh Hall be able to come in the game and not only bunt for a hit, but send one down the line and take an extra base. So I think the lineup happens. I don't really think the lineup's better because you don't have that threat in the middle. I think the lineup's better because you're more consistent. Sure. But there definitely is a better mental approach for the team as a whole because they know there's not any one guy that they can just count on to take care of it with a home run and that they've got to do it together. So I do think that's something that is a credit to this team, is a credit to Gabe Gross as a hitting coach and instilling that kind of discipline in his guys. And I'm excited to see what they're able to do this weekend.
I appreciate the breakdown, man. This is actually just me asking you buddy to buddy here, just getting you to talk some ball so I can learn as much as I can from you.
You are good. Where can folks go to get more about you, the shows that you do, the stuff that you do, everything Harrison Tarr?
You know, sometimes even I forget, Lindsay, to be completely honest with you. My Twitter handle, if you're watching the video version of the podcast on YouTube, it's right below me. It's at by Harrison Tarr, like you're reading my byline at the Auburn Daily, which is conveniently where you can find my written work. Nice little segue work that I've been workshopping lately. If you want to check out any more of my podcasting work, I'm also on the Auburn Daily Show every Wednesday with the delightful Dylan Lark. He's a ton of fun. I get to spend a lot of time with Dylan because we are also the host of The College Loop that comes out every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. That is your host. That is your spot for anything Auburn basketball, baseball, football, women's gymnastics, anything in between. Barbecue takes. I'm big on that. Big barbecue guy. So make sure you guys tune in. We've got a really cool interview. Zach Blackerby is going to be on the show next week. I think Bree Ellis is going to come back on and talk a little more softball with us. Very excited. And we've got a really cool, I think, YouTube vlog, first YouTube exclusive coming up this week where we're running the Auburn Gauntlet, doing men's basketball, baseball, and softball all in one day on Saturday.
Ooh, that's what a show. What a loaded, absolutely loaded. You got to go to follow The College Loop anywhere you get your podcasts, YouTube, Twitter, and everything.
That's right.
I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. My written work, auburndaily.com as well. Obviously, mostly focused on baseball right now. I think I did 5 or 6 pieces last week. Kind of wild.
You're a madman.
It's a lot of work. But also, my podcast, Locked On MLB Prospects, available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. We are in the thick of spring training right now. So we just dropped our top 10 rookies for the 2023 season. That is up today on Friday, as well as, you know, mailbags, everything else you can possibly get. Enjoy the weekend, War Eagle, and until Monday, this has been the Auburn Daily Show.